your host, Michael Cohen, with a Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It is 6:21. We are back. Well, Planned Parenthood is set to protest tomorrow at the Capitol against legislation they say is, quote, the biggest assault on women's health in our state's history. To talk about exactly what the bills entail, I'm joined by Lori Lamarand, president and CEO of Planned Parenthood Mid and South Michigan. Lori, thank you for joining us on 1320 WILS.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here.
And I'm guessing you're hardly surprised then that these bills are now moving forward, although aren't Republicans who were voted in so overwhelmingly simply moving pro-life bills ahead that many of their constituents support?
Oh, I think that is one way to say this, but I think this is the worst kind of legislation. What happened in these bills is that it's a compilation of what is being touted as other bills that had been introduced in various places in the legislature, but some of the language has changed, and it has resulted in the grossest mess of contradictions and unclear language, etc. You know, mm-hmm. Planned Parenthood can get behind wanting to keep women safe. We certainly do that on a daily basis, make sure that women have safe access to appropriate reproductive health care. More than right to life or these legislators will ever do. We do more in a week. But these set of bills absolutely is an overreach into medical practice, into access in ways that are really just simply politically motivated.
Let's look at some of them. One piece of the legislation is set to ban abortions after 20 weeks, except to save the life of the mother. The same bill was just signed into law in Arizona. Now, it's making its way through many other state governments. Do you know who is behind this effort and coordinating this multi-state effort?
I think that you pick an anti-abortion group, and I think that it isn't true that these things are making their way through other places. Most of the other successful bills of this nature have included health exceptions for the pregnant woman, exceptions when there are fetal anomalies that make it a fetus incompatible with ongoing life. Those are the sorts of things. So while people are saying that these things are happening in other places, that's a misrepresentation of the facts.
And those who support this 20-week ban say that a fetus can feel pain after that point in development, and that's the reason for the ban. How do you argue that point?
I think that thinking people disagree about when a fetus feels pain, and certainly 20 weeks, as it's being described in this bill, is pre-viability. And so, and I think that the other reason that we object to this is that, like I said, there aren't any exceptions for women in dire circumstance, and certainly women that have resources would be able to seek help in another state. I would suggest that legislators' families would be able to do that, but many other women would be stuck in a situation that could really threaten her health in the long run.
Now, another provision in the legislation is to make it a crime to coerce a woman into having an abortion. That seems like a pro-woman stance. How is that viewed as being a threat to choice?
Actually, we don't view that as being a threat to choice, and we fully support that. When this bill was initially introduced, Planned Parenthood took no stand on this bill, and we don't necessarily think it's a bad thing. I think the overall reason that we have trouble with some of the provisions in this bill is the fact that much of it is poorly written, and it actually contradicts itself within the language of the bill.
I see, but you're saying Planned Parenthood does not oppose that, at least that piece of the legislation.
No, we did not. We took no opinion on that piece of legislation when it was initially introduced.
I'm talking to Lori Lamarand. She's the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood Mid and South Michigan. There's also a proposed guide to the disposing of fetal remains. We've certainly heard these stories of remains being found and exposed by the pro-life movement. How are fetal remains typically disposed of now, and do you have any idea what these new guidelines are?
Well, I can't speak for any other health center except my own, and I can tell you that we understand the need to give fetal remains appropriate respect, and we follow all the guidelines. And certainly no fetus at Planned Parenthood ever finds its way into a dumpster, and we would find that appalling and aberrant. And I frankly do not believe that that's what occurred. I think if it had, we would have found a different level of reaction, and by the local jurisdiction's own admission, there was nothing that they could sort of hang this center on, and I find that difficult to believe.
Are you opposed to that legislation?
There are a number of contradictions. It involves using medical examiners in the process, and there are no provisions for this actually occurring.
I see. Now, what are you saying? Are these guidelines going to somehow make the operations for abortion clinics much more difficult in Michigan?
And virtually not any more safe than they are now. As I said, we follow all of the guidelines now. One of the other provisions in this or in this bill would necessitate a freestanding outpatient facility license for people who are doing medication abortion alone, meaning dispensing an oral medication. They would have us have all of the provisions for doing full-on surgery, and that is ludicrous by anybody's standard. And by regulating that we need to be freestanding outpatient surgery facilities for a quote-unquote surgery that is among the safest in the country is a far overreach and would make access and abortion services for Michigan women much, much less available than they are presently.
I see. Now, another provision apparently is to prohibit the use of RU486 pills, the prescription, that is, of these pills through webcam consultations. How do women typically get access to Plan B now?
Right now, it is primarily face-to-face interactions. But again, I think this whole process has been completely misrepresented as if there would be no medical professional on site, et cetera, and none of those things are true. Each woman would meet with a medical professional, and this is all in the name of ensuring that people in our most rural areas of the state might have access to a procedure that they desperately need and do not have the resources to access in by a distance way. And as far as I know, this is not yet happening in Michigan, although it certainly was an idea that would allow women in very rural areas to get access to this procedure when they couldn't otherwise.
So in terms of the effect then of this legislation going through, a woman could still get an abortion in Michigan, could she not, if all this legislation passes, unless, of course, it's after 20 weeks?
Right. After 20 weeks, she certainly couldn't. She would certainly have a much more difficult time because we would go from the present probably 32 providers potentially down to 2 or 3. I think that the process would become increasingly more expensive. And I think this legislation absolutely interferes with a physician's good judgment and replaces it with legislators' good judgment. And women now don't go to their legislator and ask about mammogram, input or other gynecological care, but we're going to single out abortion in that way. And I think that's something that most Michigan women would have a problem with.
You said from 32 providers to 2 or 3. Why is that?
Because at present time, there are only 4 providers that have outpatient facility licenses, and that is one of the provisions of this bill. But it would certainly, the provisions that we would not be able, that some centers would not be able to meet, are provisions that are unnecessary for the safe conducting of this procedure. So it's a far overreach, and I think the history in Michigan would show that most providers offer this service in a very, in an incredibly safe way, and this would just add layers of cost to the procedure that would have to be passed on to patients.
15 seconds left. Assuming the legislature does pass this set of bills, do you think Governor Snyder will sign it?
I wish I knew what the governor will do, and I certainly implore him to think it through, if for no other reason than the fact that this is the worst kind of legislation in that it's just really terribly written and has significant contradictions. It's a very, very technical bill, and I think it's appalling that legislators would put forth e-work in an issue that is this important.
Lori Lammeron, President and CEO of Planned Parenthood Mid and South Michigan. Lori, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the opportunity.
We will be right back to talk about your inheritance. If you're a baby boomer, it may not be coming your way. That's next. WILS.